This morning, we welcome Reverend Becca Siddle, who is leading us in worship while Pastor Tim is on vacation. Reverend Siddle serves as the chaplain for Redstone Highlands Presbyterian Senior Care in Murraysville. Becca is an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church USA and has previously worked as a chaplain at both UPMC Shadyside and Presbyterian hospitals, as well as Canterbury Place in Lawrenceville. She lives in Allison Park with her husband, Aaron, and two teenagers, Sam and Holland. Let us welcome Pastor Siddle.
Good morning and Happy New Year. How's the sound? It sounds a little loud, but I'll trust you. You will control all those dials back there. Thank you for welcoming me I don't know when I was here last, maybe in June or July, but I do see some familiar faces, and I'm very happy to be here, and I bring you greetings from Redstone Presbytery, of which I am a member. So I invite you, as we begin this morning, to listen first to the prophet Isaiah and consider how the Holy Spirit might be using this text to speak to you this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and his many kindnesses. He said, "Surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me." And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and his mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. And our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are now dead." So he got up, he took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me just a moment, please? Gracious God, it was only 1 week ago that your light tore into our darkness and we felt its warmth and glow upon our faces. But for some, for many, that light feels as if it were all too quickly extinguished in this season of long and dark nights. We pray that your eternal word will once again illuminate our living, and will do so each and every day with the regularity of each and every sunrise. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I, of course, have little knowledge of the rhythms and dynamics that go on in each of your households on a day-to-day basis, but I can share something about mine this morning that is as perennial as the seasons themselves. Every year, beginning in early to mid-fall, both my husband and my daughter begin to get very agitated, and often somewhat somber as well. And although I know very well what the answer will be each fall, I still ask the question, what's wrong? What's going on? And the response from year to year is inevitably the same. It just gets dark way too soon. And of course, once we set the clocks back from daylight savings time, it only becomes more and more extreme. But as extreme as their moods can be, when it gets dark too soon, this kind of seasonal change is very common. Maybe some of you experience it. And it can very easily be brought back into balance with, I don't know, adding a little bit of extra vitamin D into your diet or sitting in front of a light box on your desk for a few minutes, a half hour every day. Those two things always do the trick. So as a theologian and as a chaplain, as a mom, as a friend, as a person of faith, that's not the kind of darkness that worries me. It's not the kind of darkness that is difficult to preach on, and it's not the kind of darkness that keeps me up at night. That would be the kind that we just read about. The Gospel of Matthew gets dark way too soon. After all, it was only one chapter earlier, and it was only 7 days ago that we were reading about the miraculous birth of the baby Jesus and imagining him in all his glorified baby innocence. We saw in our mind's eye him snuggled up against his serene, though somewhat exhausted, mother Mary. Joseph on his knees was there to protect and to tend to their every need. The sleepy animals were there, of course, and the shepherds were there, keeping watch not over their flocks, but over this beautiful young family instead. It's this image of Christmas that we want to revel in. We want to celebrate its beauty and just linger in the peaceful, still life image that is emblazoned into our memories. More importantly, we want to revel in the notion that this is how God came into our lives and how God came into the world to love us. And inside that love is God's desire to give us life eternal and to end all suffering and all sorrow and, as Isaiah says, to wipe every tear from every eye. That is the notion that is emblazoned into our hearts. So for Matthew to move so very quickly from this birthplace of love and light and hope and peace into what is essentially a death march of darkness and evil, it's disorienting at best, and horrifying and heartbreaking at worst. It gets dark too soon. If I were a senior editor of this book called The Gospel, or a producer of the movie version, perhaps, I would insist that Matthew go back and do a rewrite. I would insist that we, the readers, get to stay at the manger longer. That we get longer, meatier paragraphs on the love part and on the peace part, and most certainly on the hope part of that Christmas manger scene. In short, I would insist that the reader get to linger longer. But I know, and you know, why that would be problematic. It would be problematic because it's not realistic. Matthew's account of wholesale murder and horrifying nighttime escapes are all too real, then and now. How many families are being dislocated right now in Syria, even as we worship? How many families right now, perhaps right here, are dealing with their own personal darkness that has come too soon? While Matthew's telling of the story is difficult and uncomfortable to read, it is not improbable or exaggerated in the least. And that is exactly why he tells the story the way he does. We don't need any reminders about darkness. We have all known it. What we do need reminding of, however, is this. In the person of Jesus, God did indeed enter our world and did indeed take on our pain, our disappointment, our fear, our violence, and even death. And God did this so that we would know we are never alone. We do not face illness alone, neither a surgeon's scalpel nor the claustrophobia of an MRI. We do not fear alone, neither the loud knock at our door in the middle of the night, nor the nightly news. We do not face hopelessness alone. Not the dark tunnel of depression, and not the dire state, perhaps, of our finances or our friendships. We do not live, and we do not die alone. Certain seasons of our lives are beautiful and wonderful and filled with the love and the hope that illuminated that stable in Bethlehem so very long ago. And during those seasons, our days just sort of merge seamlessly one into the other. And we view them as through the eyes of a child on Christmas Day. God is, of course, in those moments, celebrating with us and for us. But sometimes, certain seasons of our lives are utterly disappointing. And they are filled with the same uncertainty and the heartache that plagued the Holy Family as it fled to Egypt 2,000 years ago. Or far worse, but not far-fetched, the violence and the bloodshed that plagued the neighbors of the Holy Family when King Herod was still reigning. Friends, God is in these moments as well, yearning to hold us up, longing to comfort us, and promising never to leave. And this is significant not only because it's what real love consists of, being there for the happiness and the heartache as well, but also because it's what the whole journey of being a believer is all about. As we know, the Christmas story begins with the birth of a child. But it doesn't end until this child has grown up, loved the brokenhearted, healed the lame, preached God's mercy, been crucified, dead, and raised again. Actually, it doesn't end until Christ draws each and every one of us into that same story, raising us up to new life, even amid the very real pain, the very real loneliness or fear or poverty that challenges each of us right here and right now. This story in the second chapter of Matthew matters because it tells us the truth. Not my idealistic version as a pretend editor, but the realistic version of each and every one of our lives. And that is that sometimes it does get dark way too soon. But it also tells the always hopeful truth that God does not stand back at a distance, but in the very person of Jesus, joined his own self to our story, to our lives, and is striving day in and day out to give each of us new life. So that when darkness comes, and it will, we will overcome. Because no matter how dark the world gets, and no matter how dark our personal lives, the light of Christ will not be extinguished. Not then, and not in the year 2017. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand for our hymn of response.